This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to episode number 19 of the Bab Ali Show. Alhamdulillah, we've done 18 episodes. It has been amazing. Cool guests, unique topics. But this is the season finale. Inshallah, I hope to be back after Ramadan. But for this episode, I want to do something unique. We're going to turn the tables, and this time I'm going to be the one being interviewed. This is a rebroadcast of an episode where I was a guest on the Greed for Ilm podcast. If you haven't checked out that podcast, make sure to go check it out. If you don't know what the link is, you can go to greedforilm.com. Or you can go to the Bab Ali Show. I have a link right there in the show notes. And without any further ado, here we go. Check it out.
In a world where cultural Muslims have confused the masses and speakers are forced to be politically correct, rises one man, one voice, who changed everything.
Hey man, why are you all serious? This is just a podcast.
Let's talk about what they don't want to talk about. The Bab Ali Show.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. You're listening to episode 122 of the Greed for Ilm podcast. If you're on Facebook or Twitter, you can follow us at Greed for Ilm. If you would like to listen to more episodes, you can go to greedforilm.com or you can subscribe to us via iTunes or Stitcher. Now, if you do have an iTunes account, I ask you a favor, head on over there and rate and review this podcast. I would truly appreciate that. Not only does it help out with the search rankings within iTunes to help it get out to more people like yourself, but it gives me that motivational push to keep on doing what I'm doing. So I truly appreciate that. This episode, I have Bab Ali joining us. If you are not familiar with his work, he is a comedian, he's a games developer, he's a businessman, actor, a founder of halfhourdeen.com, but he's more famous for his YouTube channel. Back in 2006, he started, he was actually the first Muslim YouTuber. And so far, he has over 75,000 subscribers with over 16 million views. So that's absolutely amazing. And most recently, he stepped into the podcasting world. He started his own podcast called The Bab Ali Show. So I'm very, very happy to have him on this podcast to talk about everything from Half Hour Deen to his podcast, to his background. So after today's episode, if you don't know about Bab Ali because for some reason you were living in a cave or you're old school, you don't even know what YouTube is, you're going to know a lot about this man. So without further ado, Bab Ali. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much, man, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on the Greed for Ilm podcast.
Jazakallah khair. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I'm excited to be here. It's interesting to be one podcaster to another, so I get to be on the other side of the table this time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I get the jitters. You know, when I see a new podcast that's a Muslim podcast that isn't solely like a khutbah podcast or some type of like tajweed program, or not to knock them, but just a regular, you know, everyday podcast. And I saw your, mashallah, starting yours. I think you're on episode, what, 9 or 10?
Yeah, inshallah. We're already on episode 9. We just started, right? I'm still a newbie in this big pond. I'm the little small fish in the big pond. But mashallah, you're like 120 plus episodes. Right? You're like the big fish, the whale in this big ocean, it's very, actually very motivating to see other brothers succeed at this, and you hopefully, alhamdulillah, you like one of the pioneers in this. So it's, inshallah, for other future podcasters are listening, it's something very inspirational.
You know, we actually spoke, for listeners out there, we actually spoke briefly last week, just to kind of schedule things and this and that. And, you know, I'm very excited that, you know, when I first started this podcast, when I was doing my episode 8 and 9 and 10, I was like, you know, I never thought I'd be past episode 25, you know, but we mentioned, you know, back last week that you do get that positive, you know, you get that email here and there, you know, you get the tweets and this and that, people saying you're doing a good job. And not only people from, you know, United States, let's say where I'm from, DC, but Italy and Palestine and all these other countries around the world. And that's just a motivation to keep on going. So I'm actually very, very happy that you're doing what you're doing. And it's your podcast is called The Bab Ali Show. And it's on iTunes, and it's so far doing awesome. So good work with that, man.
Jazakallah khair.
But let's take a step back, like back to the future. Let's go back. I want you to talk about how'd you get not only into the whole podcasting, we'll talk about that later, but into the whole YouTube, because you're the initial Muslim YouTuber. When I think of a Muslim YouTuber, I think of you. I mean, now they have like FusiTube and all these other people, but personally, I think that's debatable in terms of like how far do you go to make people laugh and to get followers and this and that. I mean, there's that line that's drawn. And I have never, ever covered my daughter's ear or, you know, told my wife no, whatever, when it comes to listening to your content. You know, ever. I mean, that's what I love. I love that feeling of, okay, we're going to watch something and it's wholesome, it's funny, and it hits a very sensitive topic, you know, and an important topic. So how'd you get started with that?
What's interesting is that when I first started with the whole YouTube videos, I couldn't find anyone that's doing it. So I actually searched for 2 days looking for one person who's blogging, and I couldn't find one Muslim video blogger out there. Mm-hmm. After a while, I discovered that I think I'm the first one. So I don't know who to copy or what to do, what not to do. Just even a format, I didn't know what to do. Uh-huh. So I sat down and I was playing around with different things. I saw what other non-Muslim YouTubers were doing. And at the very end, I came up with this interesting way of moving around in my chair. Mm-hmm. But that's not what I think what made the video successful. It was the fact that talking about issues that everyone was thinking about, but no one was necessarily talking about. And I think that kind of struck a chord with a lot of people. I initially told my wife that a lot of people are going to hate me. Mm-hmm. So get ready for this. And she's like, why? Because I'm going to talk about these issues that are taboo in the Muslim community. And I don't think it's going to come across very well. And mm-hmm. some people did hate me initially. Mm-hmm. But alhamdulillah, I was very, very surprised by the number of people who actually supported it. It was kind of like I was the voice of the voiceless. And like, hey, say it, brother. Preach on. And then, so it was very interesting to do that. And as you said, it spreads around the world. And like you, yourself, and your daughter, it reaches people I've never met before mm-hmm. who get a chance to check out like the thoughts of my head, which I only thought was only by myself. But it looks like a lot of people had similar feelings about these issues.
Now, when you say that people were, there were haters, quote unquote, you know, haters in the beginning, how would they contact you? By comments? Like, how did you know that they were haters?
Oh, they would say things that just doesn't really make sense. Like, you know, at the beginning, initially, when I had my YouTube videos, I had this, it would say Uma Films. They go, Uma Films. I'm not a musician. I didn't make instruments or anything like that, but mm-hmm. I had this sound at the beginning. I don't think it was even really music, but nevertheless, brother will contact me and say, brother, this is music. And then I'm like, oh, I don't even discuss music. So what is he talking about? And then I click on his profile, and his profile has Shakira dancing. So I'm like, what? What? What's this guy talking about? And another guy will say the music thing. I'm like, what are these guys talking? Well, like one guy said, you're half our Dean melody, mm-hmm. even though it's only two Nasheed artists. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's done by two guys called No Beats Necessary. I mean, they don't deal with any music whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But it says it sounds so good, it sounds like music. So therefore, it counts as music, and therefore music is haram, and your stuff is haram. Like, what?
I love that logic, yeah.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. The logic is like, what are you guys talking about? Like, I don't think discussed, even though I've done nearly 100 videos, mm-hmm. I never touched the music one. I don't touch normal subjects that everyone already talks about. I mean, mm-hmm. I barely brought up halal meat, and halal meat, I only brought it up in the Muslim extremist video where there was a sister that I found out that drives 2.5 hours to go check and verify if the meat is really halal or not.
Oh,
and, yeah. And she goes to the halal meat market and she says, is your meat halal? And the guy says, yes. She says, I don't believe you. Where's the guy? Where's the guy who slaughters the meat?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's 1.5 hours away or 2.5 hours away, hour and a half back. So she actually drive and went and interviewed the guy who slaughters the meat, what background, what country are you from, all this stuff. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Do we do the same thing for our other issues?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Are we just extreme? That's why I call Muslim extremists. You're extreme into one issue. So anyways, these are one of many, many topics I felt that we need to talk about in the Muslim community, how we take certain issues and we completely ignore other ones. And again, it struck a chord with a lot of Muslims because, like, dude, this is the same thing I feel, and I wish someone verbalized it, and you're doing it. So I'll support you, and I'll share your videos. And even though I only have like 78,000 subscribers, it's 14 million video views, which tells me the people who are subscribing are passing it along.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the whole cherry picking of your religion. That's just it's a sad fact in the Muslim community. Sad fact. So hold on, just to go back to, because I can't get this out of my head. But this lady who would go to the halal ask this guy. Now, this guy who's selling the meat, he's Muslim, right?
Yes, he's a halal meat store.
Oh my God! So it's like you're bro, doubting the guy who's a Muslim. You're pretty much calling him a liar. You're like, no, I'm gonna go verify. That's not right. You know,
I know, bro. There's a lot of stuff that's not right that we do. I mean, there's people who waste time being the haram police of the internet.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I got my fair share of that. I mean, I have one guy who's contacted me saying that we're part of a beard committee. And we measure your beard from video to video, and we're concerned. Yeah, my first thing is like, I didn't know there was a beard committee.
Are they joking or?
No, I think the guys are being serious. And we get together as a group and we measure beards on the internet, I guess. So we've been measuring your beards from video to video, and we're concerned. I guess they sent a report to me. And my first response to them was that I wish I had as much free time as you guys do.
Well,
because I don't have time to go and sit there and count the flaws in others. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I have flaws. There's many things I need to correct among myself.
Sure.
But sitting there correcting everybody else's flaws, are you perfect yourself yet? Do you have time to make a beard committee? Where's the hijab committee? And where's this committee and that committee? I'm like, oh, you guys have way too much free time. So again, it's extreme in a different way. And I feel like sometimes these people who do these type of stuff are having things missing in themselves in their lives that they try to make up by
pointing out
to compensate. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the people who are bullies. People who are bullies, oftentimes they have something that's missing inside of them. They probably have low self-esteem. They feel bad about certain things that have happened to them.
Their dad's probably kicking their butt at home.
Exactly.
Know, they don't
so they try and tease others. It makes them feel like I want others to suffer like I have. So I don't let these people get to me. Initially, when I started making my videos, a lot of people were making anti-Baba Ali videos.
Yeah.
And my supporters would say, hey, Ali, are you going to respond to this guy? I'm like, no. Why should I respond to him? Why give that person visibility, credibility? Skip him. And guess what? All those guys disappeared. All of them disappeared, which was alhamdulillah. It was a good experience. So this is what, like, when people came after me, when they ask me for advice, I give them my two cents, and that's why I try to do it. And just to let everyone know who's listening right now, you know, the Greed for Ilm podcast is not just a podcast, but the brother behind it, Brother Walid, I actually contacted him about a week ago, and I asked him via his contact form, I'm new to podcasting, can I get some advice from you? And alhamdulillah, you contacted me back, we spoke on the phone. You answer all my questions, and there are really good Muslim brothers out there. As much as I criticize some of the people within the Muslim Ummah, there are people, alhamdulillah, they're still good within the Ummah, alhamdulillah.
Thank you, man. Thank you. So out of all the numerous videos that you've done, are there any topics or issues when you talk, you know, oh, these actually get more plays or downloads than the other ones?
Funny you say that, because the marriage topic.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Whenever you talk about marriage, wow, the views jump. Whenever you talk about, I have nine podcasts that have been posted recently, and some of the most popular ones are one regarding intimacy and Islam, the one regarding the dowry bubble, again, something related to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The recent one I just posted is about the Muslims and infidelity, again, related to marriage. You know, I'm surprised it continues to be the big hot subject, even with my YouTube videos. The marriage ones regarding the marriage interviews or dealing with the parents or the $25,000 wedding, these videos got quite a number of hits. And I guess the Muslim community, marriage is always a hot topic. It's either before marriage or after marriage. They want to know what – they want to hear those topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marriage is a whole different world, man. It's like – I mean, I was born here in the U.S. Both my parents from Afghanistan, you know, so that's the background there.
Yeah.
But, you know, even my uncles and everybody's here. And it's like as soon as you hit, you know, after high school, about 18, you know, and you get 19, 20, then you start talking about like, okay, when are you going to get married? You know, And then you get married, then it's like, when are you going to have a kid? You have a kid, it's like, when are you going to have the other kid? It just keeps this a cycle. You know, it's like people are looking for numbers rather than, I guess, what is it like, quantity over quality, you know, with your kids. I mean, there's only so many kids you can have, and at the same time, divide your, you know, parental attention, you know, to each one, yeah, and this and that, you know, so there's issues. So
that also becomes a challenge, because when you have too many kids, it's like, how do I make sure each one gets their attention? My concern necessarily isn't regarding the financial side of it, because that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely.
But to make sure I give the proper attention each child needs to raise them properly.
Absolutely. And in
our time that we live in, depending on our job situation, sometimes it's really hard, depending on if your relatives don't live close to you, if your wife is solely dependent on you. It's a lot of different factors involved. Sometimes grandparents just want to get a large count, like followers on Twitter. It doesn't work that way. You know, it's like if you have to provide for every follower and give attention and raise each one correctly, you don't want 2 million followers on Twitter.
I agree. I remember reading the Quran where the pagan heirs used to boast like at how many kids they had, you know, and how big their clan was or whatever. And Allah is saying how that really doesn't matter, you know, in the next life, boasting, because you end up in the grave by yourself, you know, you'll be judged by yourself. And I was like, you know, people actually brag about having kids and stuff, you know, but they do, you know, they, you know, I've seen even in my own family, like some families are like, you know, hey, I got 7, you got 5. He's like, so what? You know,
it's like you got a basketball team, I got a football team. What you doing? Yeah. What about you, cousin? Yeah. You got table tennis team. What's with two?
You going ping pong like the Asians or whatever? Yeah, I know. So since marriage was the hot topic in your YouTube videos, is that how Half Our Deen came about?
Yeah, interesting story with Half Our Deen is that 13 years ago, I was looking for my other half. And I wasn't sure how I was going to find my other half, because locally, there's no marriage program. I mean, you can't really go to the masjid and look for a sister, because she's praying in the sister area, and you're in the brother area. You can't be peeking in the sister area. They're going to say, who's the creepy guy in the corner? So it's like, they didn't really have really good programs. I mean, once in a while you hear about a singles event, but that's kind of like speed dating. That doesn't work. So it was like there's no option out there, especially if you're a convert. Now, of course, if you have parents that are Muslim and practicing, that's a whole different thing. And the reason I say practicing and Muslim, because Muslim is not enough. There's many parents who are Muslim, but they're not necessarily very religious. So the people they have in mind for you are very superficial way, either because of the way she looks or the amount of money he makes. But a practicing Muslim parent who really believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who really fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to try to choose the right person for you, even though sometimes what the people will say kind of thing, it would be contradict what their decision is. So with me, as being a convert, I couldn't go through my parents. So I did the unthinkable. I went online and I wasn't sure which website worked. So I tried all of them. And basically I put my profile exactly what I was looking for and told everything about myself, exactly what I'm going to be like, in a very, very detailed profile. And I copied and pasted it onto a bunch of different websites. And then I waited and 17 people responded to me. And right there, I realized that this whole system is flawed, because I'm so specific on what I'm looking for. I'm only expecting one response. So when 17 people responded, I was like, okay, something's wrong with the system. I need to make up my own system to overlap this. So I need to find out who's telling me the truth and who's telling me what I want to hear. So I sent a series of questions to all 17 sisters. And these questions have one thing in common. They didn't have a right or wrong answer. For example, do you think the world is more fair or more forgiving? Are you more fair or more forgiving? Or do you think the world needs more justice or more mercy? So I asked questions to really figure out how they thought, what their personal type was really like, not what's quote unquote politically correct. And all these people start contacting me with those answers, all 17 people. 16 of them answered it one way, one answered it in the way I was looking for. And that's the one I married 13 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Until today, I still feel like a newlywed. So my friends ask me, Ali, where are these questions? First thing I hear every time I tell the story. And I give those questions to my friend. He used them. He got married, has two children, lives in Southern California, feels like a newlywed. Wow. So the next guy, where are these questions? And after a while, like, people are getting married left and right. And I'm like, this is only going to go around with this Microsoft Word document. How far am I going to reach it? Maybe I want to help a lot of people out. So I did is I built a website called Half Hour Dean. And what I basically did, the formula is, let's do exact opposite of what everybody else is doing. So that was the formula, because I was so frustrated with these other websites. So I said, the first thing first, instead of height, eye color, hair color, all that kind of questions, we still have those, but let's focus on questions that you would actually ask a sister or a brother when you sit face to face across from them and your parents are there. And so we set up those kind of questions. And we want to make sure those questions don't have right or wrong answers, just like the way Baba Ali did it when he was looking for his wife and what his friends did. And that was the next part of the formula. And then the whole website started coming together. And I used another part of the system we added was, let's filter out people that don't match with you. And what that means is, put questions on your profile that you want people to answer, that if people say no to or yes to, those are deal breaker questions. For example, would you consider a sister over the age of 29? Would you consider a brother who's divorced? Would you would you be willing to relocate to the UK? So all these questions that you want everyone to answer, and those are very, very important to you. What do you think about spending each weekend with your in-laws or living with your in-laws? So these are very important questions that are just basically, these are things I won't compromise on. So when people answer these questions, no matter how beautiful or no matter how successful the guy is, if he answers a question and those don't fit with what you're looking for, you don't waste time getting emotionally involved with these people. So instead of talking to 15 or 17 people like I did, I filtered down to one person. I didn't have to talk to 17 people, fly to each city, talk to all. No, I didn't have to do any of that. I only had to deal with one person. I spoke to her. I married her. Gave it to my friend. Guess what he did? Before he got those questions, he didn't know how to filter the sisters out. So it's the whole idea is to stop getting emotionally involved with people, because that's what really kills the whole marriage thing. A lot of people, they start looking to get married, and after a while, they just say, I want to give up. And why? Because I try so many times. Every time I try, it just fails. Well, what if we avoid that? What if we eliminate that by using a filtering system? So, okay, then how do I know they're telling the truth? Well, ask questions that don't have right or wrong answers. Like, when you get mad, how do you communicate? Or are you more simple or more stylish when it comes to clothes? Do you, like, in other words, do you set your own style or do you try to stay in style? You know what I mean? Some guys are looking for a girl who's very stylish. And some guys are like, I'm very stylish means more materialistic. But that doesn't mean she's materialistic. That's the way he views it. So everyone has a different perception, a different view about different things. So all I try to do is match the people who connect with one another. Like, even religiously. Like a hardcore Sufi and a hardcore Salafi, they're both consider themselves religious, but they won't match in a marriage, bro. You know, I mean, they even look similar.
A
Sufi and Salafi may be both bring the thobe and the big beard, but they have one guy spinning and listening to music, and the other one's like haram, haram, haram. So I was like, dude, this is not going to work, right? So what we do is we try to figure out how they even view religion. Like, what is your understanding of Islam? I'm not going to correct you on the website. And that's not my job. You know, that's other websites and scholars to do that. I just want to see how you view or understand Islam, how you view, understand your family, how you view and understand these different things, and then match you with someone that connects and matches with you. So we started this website back in 2010. And since then, we have about 770 success stories, including we have many people, I guess, popular or famous Muslims who actually use the website. We have very people that, like, I guess one guy was part of like a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. We have a lot of people, but no one knows who these people are. And what I mean by that is a lot of people who come and get married on the website, they don't tell us. You know why?
Why is that?
Because the reason they chose Half Hour Dean is because it's private. Because I can get in. No one knows. No one can see my profile unless they're a member. And as soon as I find someone, I disable my account. And I'm gone. I come in like in the night, under the radar, like a ninja, and I disappear. And I could be like a director of a big organization. I could be a CEO. I could be a famous Muslim celebrity. And I've had all of those type of things come, I believe, to our website. And there's many people who've actually found their other half on the website. and they haven't even told us, and we don't count them as a part of the 770 success stories. I'll tell you one story. I was in a Turkish festival, and it was local here in Southern California, and I was standing in line for food, and this guy walks up to me and says, "Hey, are you guys that Baba Ali guy?" And I'm like, "Yeah." So I automatically assume he wants to take a picture because of the whole Baba Ali stand-up comedy. And he's like, "Hey, man, I use your website." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Me and my wife met on your website." I'm like, "Oh, okay.
Wow.
But don't tell anybody." I'm like, "What?" And his wife walks up. "Did you tell him?" "Yeah, I did. Let's go. Let's go." I've never seen the guy ever in my life again.
Wow. Wow.
I have a very close friend who used a website, got married, and lives on the other side of the United States. I asked him, can I use your success story? No. Can I tell people you met on the website? No. Can I get an audio recording of it? No. Can I get a written statement of what you thought about the website? No. Just don't tell anybody. Okay. What? How about I just put it anonymous? I don't put your name. No. Wow. I don't want anyone to accidentally find out I met on a matchmaking website. So that's who we attract. We attract everybody who tried all these other websites and it didn't work. And I don't want anyone to ever know I'm using a website. And that's what it is. Really, when you join the website, when you go to halfhardeen.com and you look to see what profiles are there, you don't see anything. You don't see anything until you become a member. This filters out all the nosy aunties and uncles and relatives and coworkers that are browsing the internet so they don't accidentally find you. Once you become a member and you join in, now you can see people, but you can only see the opposite gender. Why? Mm-hmm. Because if there's two sisters that are best friends and they're on the website, neither of them should know that they're looking or using this service because it's not their business. The only people that should know that you're looking to get married are people looking to get married. And that's the opposite gender. So, and that's the whole thing. I initially thought, honestly, that people are going to join the website because of the price, $9 a month or $5 a month, depending on what program you sign up for.
How do you maintain that? I mean, that's pretty cheap compared to other.
It's not even it's a fraction. It's not even close to the other people. Like we went in and checked out the other press sites, websites is between $29 to $44 a month.
Yeah.
Plus they advertise on their website. We had, I think, 10 million page views last year and nearly a million visitors. Wow. We have no ads on our website. We still, for 5 years, I think we've gone close to, I would guess around 40 million. 40 million, I would have to estimate. If I'm guesstimating right here on top of my head, 40 million page views, a few million visitors. And we, till today, we've never had ads. The question is, or the statement is, just because you can put ads on your website doesn't mean you should. Just because I can charge $20 a month and still be the cheapest among my big competition doesn't mean I should.
But what's the point behind that, like not accepting ads?
Because I wanted the Muslims to have a different experience when it comes to quality. Mm-hmm. I always felt like when we deal with Muslim products, it's always like, okay, brother, inshallah, bismillah, you know, it's good, brother, it's good. You know, it's like, why does all our products have to be like joke? You know, why is it, if we work for a non-Muslim, we would have a higher quality in doing things, right? But as soon as it comes to the masjid or the Muslims, it's okay, bismillah, put some duct tape on it, inshallah, it's good. You know, it's like our way we run our basketball tournaments, the way we do things is, why is it like that? Why can't we have the highest quality? And it's like people, we don't look, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's part of our culture or what. And I said, I'm tired of this. Why does it, like, every time we ask a mother Muslim for help, we don't feel uncomfortable to pay them, or we expect them to do their service for free if the guy's a mechanic or the brother does moving or the guy does whatever service. But as soon as it's a non-Muslim, we have no problem paying him at all. But for a Muslim, we're expecting him to do it for free because, oh, you're my Muslim brother. Here's my Muslim card. Here, I got to show you. Here's my ID. And just please do it for free for me. And it's like, dude, that's not cool. No wonder Muslims don't want to work with Muslims. For me, believe it or not, every single person who works for Half Our Deen is paid. And we don't try to lowball them. We ask them before they work with us, what pay works for you? And they say, we say either we can do it or we can't do it. We're not going to say, oh, how much you would charge? Oh, brother, we'll pay you 1/4 of that or 1/2 of that or $5 less than that. We're not going to lowball you. Either this is what we pay and this is how much you get. Some of them have been quite surprised. Quite surprised, like, oh, this is way more than I got with my old job. So, and they don't quit.
But if you don't have any ads, and the only source of your income is the people who sign up, right? And they pay.
Yes.
So through that money or through those funds, you pay people who would work for Half Our Deen.
Yes. So you're saying, well, how do you make it? So that's a very good question. So if you go to Google or you go to Facebook and you type in the word Muslim marriage site, Muslim matrimonial site, you'll notice a lot of ads will come on the right side and on very top. And you'll notice none of those ads say Hafardeen. The reason why is because Hafardeen doesn't really advertise. All the money that the other matchmaking websites are funding to marketing, they add that cost on top of so the members pay for it. We can reduce this cost by doing no ads and just getting people to join the website without any advertisements. So that comes. So that's another question. Well, how do you get all these people to join the website if you're not mass advertising and flooding them with ads and text ads and email ads and all kinds of ads? How do you do it? Well, the idea was that if you have a website or a product that works, everyone will tell everyone about it.
Absolutely.
And that's how we do it. That's our magic secret ingredient. We have a website that actually works. And then you can put all the fancy ads you want and pay one page ads everywhere and put Facebook and put $1,000 budget each month for Google. But when your website's garbage and it's a joke and it doesn't work and it's flooded and you get spam and you get advertised, eventually people will leave. Yeah, you'll get some people to click on your ad and join it with the idea that they hope that maybe this is the one website that actually works. And then there comes the other one that your best friend tells you, dude, I met on my website. Me and my wife met on this. We had my wife had a friend come and visit us. Not her friend. Her friend came to visit and she brought a friend with her. And that friend that came with her had seven people that she knew that met on Hafardeen.
Wow.
And my wife didn't know who this girl was. I mean, I guess she just met the sister. And she herself met on Hafardeen. Honestly, I don't think any of those seven people are on par of our 770 success stories. And probably they didn't tell us.
And you all obviously don't know when or if people get married from your website, do you?
They tell us that I found my match. Khalas, I'm done. Jazakallah khair for the service. I'm going. Like, to what our understanding with that is I'm pursuing marriage with this person.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what it does. Now, do I follow up and say, how long did the marriage go? Are you happy in your marriage? That's not my job. You know what I mean?
No, of course.
My job is to figure out, I'm looking for a brother who's looking to get married and a sister looking to get married and what their needs are. And then see if I can find someone you're attracted to, someone who fit for you. And once you guys have that, khalas, it's up to you guys to figure that out. That is where we need the next level of our ummah, where we need our family counselors, our marriage counselors, our scholars, our imams to help us and teach us to how to stay married. Because getting married is one challenge. Staying married is a whole different one.
Yeah, I'm on your website right now, hafardeen.com, and I must say, man, it is very, very professional looking. Now, you have an IT background, don't you?
I do, but I didn't do the website. We have a team of individuals that work with us. We have a programming team. We have a marketing team. We have an offline team. We have a social media team, and everyone is paid, by the way.
Wow.
So I'll take a look. If you look at the very top right side, you'll see right under the icon of F, which is for Facebook, about in 2013, October of 2013, which is about, I guess, 16 months ago, there was only 40,000 likes on our Facebook page. We have almost, we're about, I guess, 27,000 away from a quarter of a million.
Yeah, so 233,840. Yeah,
so we jumped, alhamdulillah, since that time, nearly 200,000. Since in the last 15, 16 months. And these are people liking our Hafardeen project. If you go to the Facebook on Hafardeen, all we constantly try to do is give people marriage tips on staying married. It's not about, if you look at it, look how many ads we have about, hey, join Hafardeen, versus how many tips we have about marriage-related things to help you stay married, tips that people share to stay married. Because the goal with this project isn't just to get you married, but we want to eventually make sure you stay married. That's why I make my YouTube videos. I made about 13 of them called the Hafardeen series. It's on YouTube as well. And you can watch and listen and learn, hopefully, inshallah, for those who are already married and those who are looking for marriage, even if you don't meet on Hafardeen, on how to stay married. It talks about how men and women are different, how we communicate differently, how we fight when you get married, how you make up when you get married. People that you don't hear this stuff in the khutbahs, and I think it's important for us to learn these things, because again, even if you don't meet on my website, I want you to stay married, inshallah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the biggest things that shaitan is out to divorce us, you know, split the families. So exactly. I mean, what you're doing is commendable, man. I really appreciate that, and I commend you. I'm actually on your website, and you have a beautiful portion towards the bottom middle where it says "Half Hardeen versus the rest," and that says it right there. You know, like in terms of price and no ad policy, and you know, privacy. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, that's, you know, people. Well, you know, sometimes people look at me and they'll criticize me for that. They'll say, "Bro, why don't you charge more? Like, you've seen the price versus everybody else. You can still charge like double." Mm-hmm. And still be like way lower than everybody else. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like, I tell him that, brother, you know why our problem is? Like, it's because we have halal meat. Why does it have to be more expensive? Mm-hmm. Why can't we just make it least expensive? So people who are battling with zabiya meat or halal meat, it makes it easier for them rather than trying to push people over. Yeah. Imagine like we live in a society that the haram is already super easy. Our parents make the halal hard. Especially like for those who are looking to get married, you know? Oh, you know, if you want to get married, make sure it's from anyone you want. Anyone you want. As long as they're from this country, this city,
yeah.
This block, and they live in this house. Like, Dad, that's my cousin. Yeah. No problem. You see, anyone you want. Anyone. Oh, by the way, make sure they finish their engineering degree. Make sure they get their doctor's degree. They get this degree and that degree. And make sure you get this. And by the time that is over, you're already like in your late 30s. And it's like, you know, it's like, don't you remember parents? Hey, you guys were young once. And it's not easy being single. Mm-hmm. And you were single back home where there's no billboard ads and there's no TV ads and there's no relationship peer pressures and all sex is not being sold to you left and right every day. And you were never alone until you're 39. You and mom got married when you're 18 and 19. Right. So, yeah. And you guys have been married for 20, 30 years and you want us to go through all these things. Yeah. But because we don't want you guys to go through difficulty like we did. And like, oh, difficulties right now, bro. When I'm going to college, everyone's wearing yoga pants. And the person's talking to me and this girl's talking to me and this guy's talking to me. All these people are talking. It's like, you know, you don't understand. We are living in a completely different world right now. And it's better for our youth to get married, of course, within the halal way so we can stay away from the haram. Our parents sometimes they don't understand because they were never raised here. They don't know, have any idea what pressures we go through, both male and females, not just the brothers.
Absolutely. Wow.
You know, man. Half Hardeen thing was just part one of the projects. We have something called Muslim Personality. It's something we're adding to Half Hardeen, inshallah. It's already its own separate project, but we'll be combining them together where you take a personality test and we find out what kind of personality type you have. And soon, inshallah, on Half Hardeen, hopefully, I'm hoping by like May, June, you'll get to go on someone's profile and you'll get to see, oh, this girl is like this type of personality. And you, since you're this personality, these are the types of things you possibly will really enjoy in your marriage. These are the things you possibly will argue about. And this is a typical 2-paragraph summary of what marriage life will be like and what to expect.
Oh, wow.
It's like, what? Does even eHarmony do this?
Yeah, I was thinking of eHarmony, but that, yeah, as soon as you said the last part, they don't do that.
Not for $9 a month or $5 a month or whatever price. Even when we raise the prices, no one does even close to that. And you get all this information about this person, and that's just a personality tab. We want to add all these modules to the website where you can learn so much about this person before you initiate contact. And the reason for this, again, is to remove that emotional piece of it, because when people start talking, And then you have to break it off. It feels really weird. You know, our parents did something that we don't do right now. You know, it's not a surprise that our parents' relationships lasted between 20, 30 years plus, right? Mm-hmm. Our youth today, if they last more than a couple of years, that's a success because a lot of people are getting divorced after the second year. Mm-hmm. So we think we know so much more with all our technology, all our internet, all our research, all the things we think we know everything. And look at our marriages versus our parents' generation marriages. And what did they do? Our parents were set up by their parents. They kind of knew like, look, my daughter's kind of quick-tempered. So we need to find a real patient guy to match with her. Our son is more like this. He's out of focus. So we need a good sister who's going to put him in his place and make sure he stays focused. He's very creative, but he needs to stay focused, right?
Sounds like my wife and I.
Exactly. So it's like he's creative, but you need a woman who's more focused to stay him focused so they balance each other.
Yeah.
You know, our parents knew us better than we knew ourselves. But now we are our own matchmakers. So we go out there and we're choosing, okay, height, color, income, nationality. Okay, which wife? Oh, she looks pretty good. Or he looks pretty good. Okay, let me marry him. And then you last for 2 years and it doesn't work out. Right? So our parents knew us better than ourselves. So that's what we're doing with Half Our Deen. We're trying to do it in a way so we can give you lots of layers, not just a personality type. We want to know, okay, what do they think about family? What do they think about this? What's their view about religion? What's their view about their character? What's their view about their personality? Let's even yourself, you have questions that you want to filter people out. Using all these different tools to finally decide, okay, let me contact these three people. And this is one of the reasons alhamdulillah, our things have been so successful. And I just came back this past weekend. We had a Half Our Deen offline event. And our offline events are similar to our online, where we want people to meet in person. And it's basically members of the website. They come to meet in person. We do it in different cities. And we don't do speed dating. So people are like, you don't do any speed dating. No. So what are we supposed to do at the event? And we're like, well, why does it have to be speed dating? Speed dating doesn't work. Let me explain to you what speed dating is. Again, Muslims, we copy non-Muslims. And we just copy and paste. And we expect this to currently work. Like a lot of these Muslim matchmaking websites, they're dating websites, right? Height, eye color, hair color. That stuff is dating. Because all you know is some surface level stuff so you can spend a 3-hour relationship with somebody, right? People are going to Match.com and eHarmony. They don't necessarily, okay, as soon as I click on this person, my goal is to marry them. No, they're planning to go on a whole bunch of dates with them. They're planning to do certain things and haram stuff until they finally decide they're going to marry the person. But Muslims, we don't follow that. So it doesn't necessarily work out for us. So for us, we need to know a lot more about the person before we actually initiate contact. So with Half Our Deen offline, we said, you know, speed dating, you're just sitting there with 3 minutes with the person just to get, see if you're somewhat attractive and see if you have enough in common with each other to spend a 3-hour relationship, a dinner and a movie. Mm-hmm. After that, you're not committed anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So does that work for someone who wants to spend the rest of your life with you?
No, absolutely not.
Imagine 3 minutes you're sitting across from somebody and that means you have a minute and a half. She has a minute and a half to ask as much stuff as you want. You just met this person.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how are you doing? Fantastic, wonderful, great. It sounds like a guy who's like low on minutes on his cell phone and he hasn't tried to ask as many questions as possible. And it's so awkward. They're being interviewed. You're being interviewed at the exact same time. And imagine yourself in a job interview. That's not you. That's you dressed in uncomfortable clothes, being asked awkward questions from a person you just met 10 seconds ago. And you're on the spot and you're doing this for 3 hours. It's exhausting. You want to get out of there as soon as possible. That's why people don't want to go to these events because they don't work and it sucks. So with Half Our Deen offline, I said, let's do something completely different. Let's just pretend speed dating never existed. How would we get a bunch of people in a room and see if we can match them together? So we said, first things first, let's only invite people that we think are going to fit for this event. So everyone who wants to go to a Half Our Deen offline event has to fill out a survey. Even members, even people who are already part of Half Our Deen have to fill out a survey and answer only our deal breaker questions. Our deal breaker questions are basically questions that, will you marry someone who's a convert? Will you marry someone who has a child? Would you marry someone like this? Would you marry someone outside your own ethnicity? All the deal breaker questions we've learned through halfparty.com. There are about like 20 of them. After you answer these questions, we will compare your answers with everybody else's. And after that, we'll decide if we should invite you or not. So just because you applied for an event in January and got in, you may not get in the next event, which is in April, because the people who signed up for April are not looking for someone like you. But in January, they are. It all depends what the opposite gender answered of what they're looking for. And obviously what you answered. This is a lot of work. But since about 60%, I think, of the people that don't get in, the system doesn't really work for a lot of Muslim organizations, which I will say on record, which I feel they're there in for the money. And the reason I say on the record is because I've actually went approach many of these, many organizations. And I said, listen, your system, you may charge $100 per person. You get 200 people to go in. You made $20,000 that weekend. My system, we're only charging $75 per person, but we're only accepting a certain number of people to get in. And even then, an equal number of men and women. So if we have 100 people apply, only 40 brothers apply, I'm not going to invite 60 sisters for 40 brothers. I'm only going to invite 40 brothers and 40 sisters. So it's balanced. Which means what about all the other sisters you can get money from? Well, I'm not going to take their money and I'm not going to waste their time either. I'm only going to invite an equal number of people. And if I have a choice of people inviting, I'm going to invite them based on those deal breaker questions. So if the sister said, oh, no, I don't marry any Arabs, or I don't marry Indian Pakistani, I don't marry this and that, and most of the people there are Indian Pakistani, I'm not going to invite you.
Mm-hmm.
Why take your money? Other organizers have no problem taking your money because they're not even filtering out the people. All they do is announce the location, the time, the place, showing up, and bring cash with you or pay for it on the spot. We'll gladly take you. And then you come there, it's a disaster because you're speed dating and whatever, whatever. So our event, we filter you out. When you get to the event, we already know who's coming. Because we know who's coming, we know where you're sitting. Because we know where you're sitting, we set you up. We try to set you up with someone at your table, which we think is going to match with you. So we're already like playing auntie and uncle or mom and dad in this situation, right? So when you get to the event, we say, okay, no speed dating. So what are we going to do? We're going to do activities. What kind of activities? Fun activities that let you know about this person in a natural way. Mm-hmm. First thing we do, we take a personality test. We take a personality test that requires you to talk to nobody. Because when you first get to the event, you don't really want to talk to anybody anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So we give you a little sticker, you put on your name badge, and then and now we know what kind of personality type you have. So before you say, Assalamu alaikum, Aisha, we know Aisha is very outgoing, she's very social, she's very talkative, and these are her strengths and these are her weaknesses. You say, Assalamu alaikum, Fatima. Fatima's more reserved, she's more loyal, she's more quiet, it takes time to get to know her. You know, Karima, and Karima is more like this, more like this. You know all these things about these sisters before you even say salam to them, and vice versa for the brothers. And this is the first activity. Then we do an activity where a guy and girl are on one team versus another guy and girl on another team, and you're a time-sensitive puzzle-solving situation. And if you resolve the puzzle, you're going to resolve against other teams. You're going to quickly find out, is this guy competitive? Is mm-hmm. she cooperative? Does she have a temper? Is he cheating? Even though it's just a game, he says it's just for fun, but I'm still cheating. I want to learn a lot about your character just the way you are. I mean, for a lot of Muslim brothers, when we play basketball with them, their true colors come out. When they're in the masjid, I don't know anything about you. Yeah. When I see the basketball court, like, what the heck is this guy doing?
Foul.
Well, yeah. You're cheating, but you saw it hit the line. Yo, I don't care.
It's a three.
Exactly. Cursing, showboating. Right, the people who are very arrogant, but of the masjid, looks very pious. The true colors come out
on the court.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you.
Yeah.
So absolutely. We want to see where your true colors come out, and there's some good and some bad. Sometimes your red flags come out as well, and that helps a lot of people filter once again. So you're asking, okay, well, we're great. We're having fun. We're doing activities. Well, how do I get to know the deeper questions, like how old you are, that kind of stuff. If you're divorced, if you're married, not married, mm-hmm. but you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So every single person who comes to the event has a 6-digit ID number under their name.
Mm-hmm.
That 6-digit ID number tells us everything about you. That because all I have to do is type in those 6-digit number on my phone or go home on my computer and your profile pops up on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can learn all the stuff about you. And if I want to contact you after the event, all I have to do is send you a message and say, Assalamu alaikum, sister. I met you at the event. It was very interesting. Unfortunately, we didn't get time too much to talk because there's so many people at the event. I'd like to contact your parents to ask permission to pursue this because I want to learn more about you for the sake of marriage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? How would you do that at a typical Muslim matchmaking event? I mean, you're going to go approach a sister or a brother, especially a sister. She's not going to approach a brother at all. She's going to send signs to the guy. The guy's not going to see it because guys are blind to this stuff. I'm a guy. I'll tell you that. And the girl's not going to ask a guy for his information, right? So a guy is hoping to do it. And the guy's clueless. He doesn't know the girl even has any interest in him. Sometimes they know they're interested, but they're too shy. So he becomes like a turtle and puts himself in the shell and runs out, pretending mm-hmm. he has a phone call, but he doesn't. And he never sees people again. And then the organizers, you don't want to be involved in all this hot mess because what happens when the sister says, okay, tell him, give him my number, but ask him if he likes me. Not likes me, but likes me. Like, what? Oh, yeah, tell the guy. What did she say? She said, do you like her or like her? Well, I don't know yet because I have to like her. Well, tell her I'll give her my number, but I want to know where she is with the marriage. Okay, she wants kids or not. Oh, let me find out. And the organizer goes, like, you want kids or not? Well, I don't want to talk about kids yet. Ask him, what does he do for a living and how much he makes? Wait a second. I don't want to do all this with 50, 60 people. You know, and then why'd you give my number? I just said, give my number. I said, if he likes me, give me my number. So like, organizers should not be involved in any of this stuff, right? What you should do is give them the medium to contact each other. And if it works out, it's between those two people. If it doesn't work out, which is the other element of this whole thing, imagine a brother is interested in a sister. He approaches her and says, "Assalamu alaikum, sister. I was wondering if..." "No way!" "Oh, okay." And he walks backwards. So you could get rejected in a full room of people. And that's really awkward, because what are you going to do for the next half hour for the rest of the event? So it's hard to deal with this stuff. And we don't want people to give their private phone numbers or their private emails out, because how do you make someone forget your private email address or add them to your Facebook, and then they're judging you how all your friends are posting weird stuff on your wall? Mm-hmm. So I don't want this person in my life yet, because I haven't decided if I'm going to pursue marriage 100% with you. I just need to know more about you. So by using Hafardeen as the medium of connecting to each other after the event, it allows you to contact each other, to just disconnect from each other, because you can block this person or completely disable your profile. Mm-hmm. And then you're not committed to this person at all, until you decide to become committed to this person by saying, "Listen, let's pursue this for marriage." And this is the privacy element that I don't think a lot of organizations value. They think that we're going to hold a three-hour event and some people are going to get married off of it. And that's a joke.
So there are Muslim matrimonial sites? I mean, not many, sites, but conferences many, and stuff like that?
Many.
Wow.
There is many.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's many. You go to ISNA, there's a matrimonial thing at ISNA. You go to a lot of Islamic conferences, they have matrimonial things. By the way, I tell them about this and I say, "Listen, I will give you my entire process for free. We don't want it." I have spoken to board members of big organizations. We don't want it. Hmm. I don't think they even like the fact that we're out there.
Why?
We are a financial threat, I think, to these organizations, because we are working. I mean, the program works. People get married off of this thing. Mm-hmm. So if it's working and you guys are charging less and you're only inviting people who match, and when you come there, there's an equal number of men and women, and it's fun.
Privacy.
And it's private. Mm-hmm. You know, the private aspect of it is this. We say, for example, it's in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. It's at 7 p.m. It's on Sunday, April 6th. Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, but where is it? You don't know where it is. All you need to know is it's in Washington, D.C. It's on this date. If you're available, apply for it. If you're not, you're not. Now, the people who get in, they get sent to the exact location. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Therefore, you don't have some, "Hey, bro, what are you doing here?" You know, your friends at the masjid, they randomly see you at the event. It's very private, because, again, it's the same model we follow online. The only people that should know that you're looking to get married are people looking to get married. And, of course, the Hafardeen staff, because if we're not there, who's going to run the event? So
absolutely, yeah. That's amazing, man. So how, okay, this Hafardeen offline, was it the first time y'all met up or did this event?
Well, it happened. I performed my stand-up comedy routine outside of Mass Los Angeles one day. I was walking, I guess, to my car, mm-hmm. and this guy in the lobby stops me and says, "Hey, bro, can you help me get married?" And I'm saying, "Oh, I have a website." He said, "No, I want to meet someone here in Los Angeles." Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, don't they have single events?" And I think he said they don't work, or I guess the same complaint. And I'm like, "Huh. Okay. I never, okay. Maybe I'll look into that." So I got a chance, alhamdulillah, to visit two single events. They wanted me to speak at both single events. So they said, "Baba Ali, come down, help us like break the ice, break the tension." And by the way, I've done stand-up comedy at nearly 200 events, not necessarily single events. And the single events are the most awkward laughters I get because people are so nervous. It's like nervous laughter. Like, I'm like, "Oh, wow, this is so weird. I feel actually weird doing this." And yeah. I actually try to do stuff that sounds funny. Like I say, "Okay, a lot of people are wondering what I'm doing at the singles event. My wife is wondering the same thing." And they're not even laughing.
They're probably focused on, you know, oh, yeah, does that girl,
And then what happens is like, I'll sit, because I'm invited to sit at this event and speak, then I get the chance to sit there and watch it as like a fly on the wall. Mm-hmm. And one event I went to, the guy was wearing shorts. And they were like they look like runner shorts.
What?
Like soccer shorts, like short shorts. But he was wearing a polo top on top of that.
Okay.
It looked like a guy wearing boxers coming to the event. And like, this
he was Muslim?
Yeah, this is a marriage event.
What the heck?
And the sisters are all dressed up and the guys are like, "Whatever." Some guy's like, "Dude, did you lose an iron? You need an iron."
Oh my God. Oh my
the guy's
God.
Like, "Did you sleep in that outfit?" Because the guy has wrinkles everywhere. I'm like, "You're about to meet possibly your future wife, and this is the way you are." Like, they don't even care. And the girls, like, they really care.
Oh, of course.
And so I see it's like, what, this is such an imbalanced situation. So I go there and I'm watching this, and they put 20 guys on one side and 20 girls on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't make this stuff up. The guy that goes, Assalamu alaikum, sister. No, no, not you. The one next to you. No, not you. The one behind you. The one in the green hijab.
The prettier one.
Yeah, the prettier one. What's your name? Mariam. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Like, what?
Oh my God.
How is this? Why do you guys do this? Oh, because we don't want men and women to mix. Well, why are they across the room? Oh, or why are they across from each other, way far away from each other? And why are there groups of 20 and 20? How does anyone know who they're talking to? And then they rotate the men and women in groups of 20 and 20. I guess this is musical chairs, speed dating, but super speed dating. And then what happens is, as soon as these people are done, they walk up and they go into the lobby and they talk normally. I was like, guys, this is such a weird situation. And I'm like, you have to do it within the halal boundaries. But there's a way to do it. The rules are a little bit different when you are looking to get married. Like, normally you're not allowed to, like, look at the opposite gender. But when you are, you don't have to lower your, you have to lower your gaze. But when you're looking to get married, you don't have to lower your gaze. That mm-hmm. it's the same mm-hmm. rules because you're looking to get married. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? So
absolutely.
They don't understand, like, when you set up the setup for this, you don't have to sit across the room from each other to talk. You know what I mean? Are they with their parents? And by the way, the chaperones are still there too. And they're sitting across in this weird way. I'm like, I don't think our parents even did this. Okay, you sit in this room and you go in the bathroom. And we'll be here. We're watching all of this. I'm like, what? How am I going to talk in the bathroom? I'm not supposed to talk in the bathroom. Okay, but it's like, come on, man. Were you guys making up some cultural weird stuff? They didn't even do it at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We're doing this now. It's like the bidah. Bidah times 10 for marriage events. So I saw this, and then another event, I came down, and that was another weird situation. I keep seeing these weird stuff, so I said, okay, on half farting offline, I'm going to do it completely different. Again, we'll do everything everybody else is doing, and we'll do the exact opposite. We'll make sure it's public, private. We'll make it affordable. We'll set at a price that the men won't flake. And this is the biggest problem we have at matchmaking events, both ours and everybody else's. Initially, we had it at $40, and the men would just would pay, and they would not show up.
Why?
Because they get cold feet.
Huh.
So what we did is we said, okay, we charged $75 and we never changed the price after that. And $75, they show up. They show up because I spent money, at least I show up. And the guys are like, oh, alhamdulillah, I show up. I didn't know it was going to be like this.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know it was going to be like this.
Wow.
I had one guy who showed up. I think he was helping out at one of our events. And you never know who's going to show up. And I asked the guy, I think he was a CEO of a company, and I think he was making $20 million a year.
Wow.
Like, and you would never think this guy would be at a matchmaking event. Like, he can't get married. He's definitely getting married. And he wouldn't tell people what he's making or how much he's making because he didn't want anyone to – I mean, judge. He was helping us with our offline event. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, I wish I knew you guys' event was like this. I would join this thing.
Wow.
I just here as a volunteer to help out, but I would never knew that you guys are doing such an event like this. So I've learned a lot of people out there, you never judge a book by its cover. And I'm hoping that people don't judge me or my projects by the cover. And you know what? Even the offline, people like yesterday, they were surprised when I told them, listen, most of you are assuming that Bob Ali is going to host this.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's hosting this? A Half Ardeen Success Stories is running offline events. Our offline events are run by a Half Ardeen success story. A real couple who used Half Ardeen, got married, who's been in your shoes, and now they are running the event. Rather than some two aunties who didn't ever use our system to get married, telling you about how you should use the system to get married.
How many offline events have you had so far?
I think about 15, if I'm not mistaken. And
initially,
it's held in just Los Angeles, in Southern California. Not Los Angeles, Southern California. And then people start inviting us. They say, can you come to Northern California? Sure. Hey, can you come to Chicago? Okay. Tampa, New York? Yep. Boston? Yep. And we start traveling around the United States to do these events. And I'm like, why don't you guys hold these same events in your local areas? Why are you guys? And when we held one in Northern California, I was just asking around, where are you from? He's like, Seattle. What about you? I'm from Atlanta. What about you? I'm from New York. I'm from Chicago. All you guys flew down? Who's from California? Why are we even holding the event over here? So I'm like, wow. What? I'm so surprised. I'm like, I thought $75 would be the deal breaker, but they're paying for their flights, their hotels, their car rentals, all to come down. And I'm realizing that you know, a lot of Muslims are starting to realize that if we're spending $30,000 or $20,000 on a wedding, $75 is nothing to with opportunity to possibly meet someone that I'm going to be getting married to, inshallah. And that's it. I mean, people think it's the money thing. I'll tell you something that a lot of people don't know. Every single offline event that right now we're doing, mm-hmm. I don't get a penny from it. The $75 that's being paid goes straight to the couple who is organizing this event. It's a lot of work to do it, mm-hmm. but Half Our Deen does not get anything out of it. It all goes to all to the couple to do offline events. Why?
Wow.
It takes a lot of time and effort to filter out hundreds of people who are applying for every event, to make sure they're at the right tables, to make sure that the program and the activities are fresh and new and works,
mm-hmm.
and to host it, to get a venue, to work with marketing, to work with the local organizations, which aren't always easy, to deal with all the drama and then to put these events together. I wish more organizations copied our system. Unfortunately, they don't. I would love it because I don't think we can hold enough events for the entire United States. I mean, we can only be one place at a time. You know, we need events in New York, Boston, Chicago, even if it's not by Half Our Deen, but you need to follow a system that works.
You all need to come to D.C.
Yeah, we're hoping. That's one of the places we've actually been talking about. I think D.C. and I think a place in Virginia as well. I mean, Virginia. But I wish people followed it. Unfortunately, they don't.
Wow.
It doesn't make money sense. You make a lot less money doing the Half Our Deen way. But our priority isn't money. Our priority is success. If our priority is money, then our system wouldn't work and we have to spend a lot of money on advertising.
Man,
people won't fly into something that doesn't work, bro. They won't fly in. It's the reality of it. People wouldn't recommend to their friends something that doesn't work. They don't get a dollar from it. There's no referral fee.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone tells you, hey, dude, go check out this website, you should join it, it works, is because they actually do truly care about you, because they really do think it works, because they've used it. I can't buy that. No matter how much I pay people or no matter how fancy my advertising is, I can't pay for that. Mm-hmm. That has to come from a system that works, because you really do think this person is going to benefit from it.
Wow. Man, hopefully and I believe he does, but Allah bless you for all these marriages that you connect people, you know, whether it's offline or online, sprinkle you with some blessings here and there. That's all you can ask for. I mean, you know, if forget the money, who cares about the money, you know?
Well, there's nothing wrong with making money off of either. Half RD is profitable. That's how I'm able to pay for my employees. But what I'm saying is our priority should be making sure we do things the right way. Not our priority should be just getting rich off of it, and then we don't get anything on the other side.
In terms of the work that you do, and in terms of, you know, you're saying that, yes, you do make some profit, and that's how you pay the people to keep the machine going, you know?
Yes.
But it's not like they'll ever see you cruising down the road in a freaking Lambo or something, you know? Like,
I live in the same place since I started Half Our Deen till now. I think I drive the same car since I started Half Our Deen till now. If a lot of people who use the website, they'll tell you that, yeah, you can charge more. I'll pay more,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but I don't want money to ever be the reason that someone doesn't join the Half Our Deen. I don't want ads to be the reason that no one joins Half Our Deen. I just want to do things different. I mean, the way I see it, look, even my YouTube videos, I used to get criticized for them. I said, brother, you have so many millions of views. How come you don't become a YouTube partner? And YouTube actually contacted me numerous times initially to become a YouTube partner.
What does that mean, YouTube partner?
A long time ago, when YouTube, before it was bought up by Google, it wasn't the biggest thing. I mean, it was big, but it had a lot of competition. There's Meta Cafe, there's all these other websites. When Google bought it, they really, really took it to the next level. Now, YouTube has become like the word Google, right? Mm-hmm. You watch it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You're going to watch a video, you watch it on YouTube. There is no other competition. It's kind of like Google.
Mm-hmm.
When you search for something, 90% of people search on Google. They don't use Yahoo or some of these other websites anymore, right? So Google has very smart on how they did that. But when I was part of when I first started, it was back in 2006. I think that's around the time Google had just purchased it or was about to purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that big yet. And so when I was getting like hundreds and thousands of views, this was a really big deal, especially when I hit a very niche market.
Mm-hmm.
So they contacted me of becoming a partner of making revenue off of this, and they're going to be advertising all of my videos. My concern was that I don't know what you're going to advertise. And if I'm going to be making money off of something that's maybe haram that you're advertising. Of course, they don't know what haram is, but mm-hmm. I don't want any of that because my money won't have barakah in it. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather take no money at all and then just keep providing content on YouTube, and you guys can, they're going to do whatever. They don't make money. I don't make money. Mm-hmm. So that was that aspect of it.
So did you want to just run by all the links and places where people can find you online?
Well, you can find me on Ali Stand Up or Muslim Comedian if they want to book me to come to a live event. If they're coming to check out the Half Hour Deen website, you go to halfhourdeen.com. The website is there. If you want to go to a live Half Hour Deen event, you have to be a member of Half Hour Deen, but you can go check out our next city that we're going to, and that's hodoffline.com. Muslim Personality, you go to muslimpersonality.com. I mean, I have 1,000 links. I have an app called Cute Arabic Alphabet, which teaches children how to write in Arabic. And it corrects you when you're wrong. And it's taught by a 5-year-old. And it's really, really cool. It's only 99 cents. You just type in the word Cute Arabic Alphabet. It's an app. It's really cool. Check it out. It's on iPad. It's on the iPhone. Alhamdulillah, every year we work out at the brand new project. Last year's project was, I was co-starting a film called American Sharia. Type in the word American Sharia in YouTube. You can watch the movie trailer. It has Julia Roberts' brother in it, which is he was also played in the Batman Returns movie. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a real film that's sold out in most of the showings that's been during the UK currently right now. So every year I try to work on something new, and hopefully I will keep in touch with you guys. But the main way to also keep in contact with me, what I'm currently doing right now, is very similar to what you agreed for Elm is doing, and that's the podcast. Of course, it's different type of content, so it's good to make sure you still subscribe to Greed for Elm podcast. But it's we cover a different type of social issues mostly. So come and check it out. Make sure you subscribe to both of them. And it's called BubbaAliShow.com. Or you can check through your iPhone or through your Samsung podcast apps and type in the word Baba Ali Show. It pops right up. Listen to it. Hopefully we get some feedback for you guys too. And I just want to give a big shout out for this Greed for Ilm podcast. Alhamdulillah, I wish we had more brothers like yourself while you're doing this. And I hope your work inspires others to do it, because just like I was that pioneer on YouTube, as you mentioned, back in 2006, and alhamdulillah, a lot of people have followed those footsteps. Mm-hmm. You are now one of the first pioneers on podcasting, and alhamdulillah, you've established yourself. Very unique guests, very unique subjects. I have now become a fan as well since I discovered it. So hopefully, inshallah, I'm hoping that to bring you on my podcast so my listeners will be able to discover it as well, inshallah.
Dude, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to come on. And first of all, thank you. Thank you so much. And I, you know, when we initially spoke last week, I think it was a week and a half ago, that, you know, your requirement for people coming on your show is to bring a topic that they're passionate to speak about. You know, and I've been thinking about that over the, you know, till today. I've been thinking about it. And I really think that what you just mentioned, earlier is that we have to get the youth, the Muslim youth, into this type of medium, podcasting specifically, yeah. You know, because they are tech savvy. You know, there's not a kid that I know that doesn't know how to freaking, you know, make an iOS app or do this or that. But, you know, they can reach so many people through podcasting, and we need more.
Exactly.
You know, we need more. And these young minds, man, they come up with things. I'm like, I never even thought about that, you know?
Yep. Yep.
So I would love to come on, man, and we talk about all things podcasting.
And before I go, one thing I had to mention, and maybe Waleed yourself may have mentioned it, but it's better to even for myself to mention, because I know what it feels like and how challenging it is. You know, you have so many views and so many subscribers. But one of the most important things, and this is so important, inshallah, for all the listeners who are listening, mm-hmm. if you really like the Greed for Ilm podcast and you've been listening to it and you really appreciate, like, I want to support it, the best thing to do, and this really means a lot, mm-hmm. you go to the Greed for Ilm, you search for it on your iPhone or through your iTunes, and you leave a rating. And I know you're like, okay, I'll do it later. No, try to do it right now. I know you're listening to it right now. This podcast episode is about to end. If you leave that thing, that lives, it makes it such a big impact, and you're probably wondering why is that such a big deal. It's because a lot of people who are searching and they're trying to figure out what podcasts to add because they just recently discovered the whole podcast thing. They're typing the word Muslim, Islam, and this type of stuff. And you see a bunch of them come up. And you see a bunch of them have like five star. This one has like only a couple of people who've reviewed it. So you assume this is probably not that great or it's not that popular. Well, in fact, thousands of people are listening to it. And because we need more Muslims to support Muslims, and it's not necessarily always by donation. Sometimes the best support you can do is by giving it a rating, by giving it a positive review. So other people who are looking for it will discover it. And hopefully, inshallah, you get barakah, you get reward for the people that you helped discover this and who benefit from this series. So this is not, Wali has not, did not ask me to do this, but I'm saying it out of my own self. Try to do that. It'll probably mean a lot to him. And especially he sees that ratings number jump after this episode. So go to the ratings. Make sure again to do it right after this episode, and hopefully this jump those numbers really high, so everyone will be able to discover it, inshallah.
Appreciate that, man. I really appreciate that. And it does come down to, even when you go to Amazon and you're searching for something, if a product that you're buying has low reviews or like 1-star, 2-star, you don't buy it.
Yeah,
you skip on and you look at something, and that also applies for iTunes or any other media search engine. You know?
And that could be a great app or a great product on Amazon.
But nobody would know. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So if you discovered it already, please, it makes a huge impact, because, you know, it's not like Greed for Elm gets paid for this podcast and all this cash flow coming in, open the check, $1,000. It's a lot of time to go and look for guests, to get people on the podcast, to record them, to edit this. It's a lot of work. And if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. But very few people are doing it. So the best way you can support it, and if you want this to continue, is to motivate him and myself and others who are doing it, and leave ratings, inshallah, because that really does mean a lot.
And it's free.
Exactly. It only takes about 30 seconds of your time.
Yeah.
You probably spend hours probably going to edit this podcast of time and all the stuff involved of communicating with me. And already we've been on this thing for nearly over an hour. Hopefully, inshallah, you'll be able to – these people can spend 30 seconds of their time to show that they appreciate your efforts.
Well, Mr. Ali, thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to coming on yours.
Jazakallah khair. And we'll do that, inshallah, very soon.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, man.
No problem. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. There you go, everybody. That was Baba Ali. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Like you said, head on over to iTunes and rate and review this podcast. I would truly appreciate that. To find out more about the links and things that we talked about during this episode, head on over to greedforelm.com/episode122. 122, and all the links and stuff you'll see right there. This man is doing an amazing job with Half Our Deen. I mean, I had just a little knowledge in terms of it being like a Muslim matrimonial website, etc. But I didn't know the extent of what he's doing. So, I mean, after this episode, I'm really in awe of what he's doing. Absolutely amazing. If you're single or you're interested, head on over to halfourdeen.com. Try it out. I mean, at the price, you'd be a fool not to do it. That's my thing. So, that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate that. I will hopefully, inshallah, be appearing on Baba Ali's podcast. It's called Baba Ali, The Baba Ali Show. You can find out more about that. Go to iTunes, rate and review that. Listen to a couple episodes, rate and review it. I mean, that's the only way we can better ourselves and refine and tweak what we do for you all. So I'll truly appreciate it if you can do that. Thank you so much again for listening to this podcast. Until the next one, take care and assalamu alaikum.